morning.
Good morning.
There is a phrase in Japanese that Dogen uses, Igisoku Bukpo, which is a practitioner's dignified bearing as the Buddha Dharma. So in the Shinjin Gakudo, Dogen wrote, to bow to the floor and to bow standing is dignified bearing in motion and stillness. So no matter what we're doing, we're expressing the Dharma through our posture, through motion, through our behavior, motion outside, the stillness inside, not separate. So when we come into this practice, forms like bowing might feel uncomfortable at first because we're not used to them. This is not something we typically do in our culture, or at least not in this way. So it might feel a little bit strange, and yet we know, as human beings, we've always had forms and rituals as part of whatever our spiritual practice is. Of course, we're not alone as a spiritual tradition with these kinds of things, because forms build community, and they reaffirm meaning, and they give us access to things that we can't see. We are manifesting something in these behaviors and in these forms. So these forms are part of the container in which we practice, whether we're practicing here, or at home, or at another place. It's part of the container of our practice. So in the words of sociologists, these forms, these behaviors help us to order our experience, to make sense of our experience. These familiar kinds of patterns make us feel like we're part of something, we're part of a sangha, we're part of a community, we're part of a group. And that means both the sangha that's in the room today and the larger sangha, the sangha of all beings. We are all connected, and these forms help us, I think, to understand that in a deep way. So when we come in and bow at this door, we come into the zendo, you know, we bow at this door when we come in, we are sort of sharing that action, bowing together with each other. No matter, we come in separately, we come in one at a time, we're all kind of bowing together. We're bowing with everyone who's here today, we're bowing with everyone who's been here for the past 26 years, we're bowing for everyone who's going to come in over the next 26 years, Buddha willing. You know, we're all one big sangha, and we may be feeling like we're doing these things one at a time, but in centers like this that have been around for a long time, or like in Minneapolis that had been, when I was there, had been around for about 30 years, I really had a sense when I was in the zendo and doing these forms of doing them with all the people who had come before me to do them. Because, of course, because they did them, I was able to come in and do them. Because we held the space, the people after us, you know, could come in and hold that space. So, no matter how many people are in the zendo, even if it's just me and one of you in the morning, we are there together with all people, all the sangha who've been there before and all the ones who will come after. So the other thing I find interesting is that, of course, we're sharing these forms throughout space and time. So it's not only the people before and after. It's all the practitioners all over the world who are doing these same forms. So if we go to a zendo in Brazil, or in Japan, or in Canada, or England, a Soto Zen group, Soto Zen Sangha, is doing all of these forms. And when we do them here, we are doing them together with people all over the world. So again, we have this diachronic and synchronic kind of thing going on. All beings in space and time are doing these forms with us. So it's really a kind of a joyful community practice. There's a real, I think, universality of this language. You know, I've said here before, the first time I ever went to Japan and went to a service, did liturgy, it was all in Japanese. I didn't speak Japanese. But yet, when the bells rang, my body knew what to do, because it was the same form, it was the same practice that I'd been doing in this country. So, although I didn't have any experience of that place, and I didn't know any of the people with whom I was practicing that day, somehow still we were a sangha, because these forms brought us together. It sort of gathered us up to one big sangha. And, you know, out of that we know what to expect. We know what's coming. I think it helps us lose some of our differentness. We know, it's distinct but not separate, right? We're already not separate. But there's something about practicing these forms together which gives us a common identity, and in the human experience that's an important thing. You know, we share some common symbols, some common forms, some common language. And, you know, in my mind, there's a reason that Sangha is the third of the three treasures. Sangha is critically important. This is one of the ways that we connect as a Sangha. Seems to me that forms also remind us what our values are. You know, when I'm doing formal meals and the server comes and puts food in my bowl, you know, we bow together and the server serves me and we bow again. That's a real deep reminder of giving and interconnectedness and how important those things are, you know, and the sort of central place that those take in Buddha's teaching and in the teaching of our ancestors. When we're here in the morning, we sit our two periods of zazen and we chant. We put our raksus or our okesa on our heads and we chant. And it's a daily reminder to me of the value that we place on Buddha's teaching. You know, we're chanting, wrapping ourselves in Buddha's teaching. What a daily reminder of the value of Buddha's teaching and being in the middle of Buddha's teaching and wearing this teaching, if you will. All of us do. If we're wearing a raksu or okesa or blue jeans, it doesn't matter. We're wearing this teaching out into the world. And it's a reminder to me every day how fortunate we are to have the chance to do that. Wrap ourselves in Buddha's teaching and go out into the world. We come in when we arrive into the Zendo, you know, we find our cushion, we bow toward the cushion. Of course, we're bowing to the people on either side of us, whether or not someone is actually there. We're bowing to the people on either side of us. Hello, here I am. Thank you for letting me practice with you. You know, we all bow together. We turn around, we bow to the room. You know, same thing. Hello, here I am. I'm grateful for the chance to be here. You know, I'm taking care of my practice. We really have some reminder that we are all supporting each other in this practice. You know, we're all helping each other. We're all encouraging each other on this path, which is really important because sometimes this is hard, right? This could be a kind of a hard, challenging practice, and it's a nice feeling to come and, you know, bow to people on either side of you that say, "Welcome. I'm glad you're here. Sit with me. Practice with me." We're together anyway, but, you know, let's manifest that. So we do these things over and over every day. And we internalize this. You know, we internalize these values. We internalize these teachings. So it's a real support to our practice. And, of course, the value of these forms goes beyond ourselves because we practice with and for all beings, right? So although I might bow to Buddha or to one of you, and I have the chance to put aside my ego and to have a deep understanding of non-separation, someone who sees us do that also has the opportunity to have that experience. So somebody sees Rusty bowing, or Lorraine, or Kevin, or sorry, somebody sees you bowing, sees you doing anything, any of our forms or just any kind of good in the world, you know, others carry that away. We think maybe it's a small thing nobody notices. But this dignified bearing is the Buddha Dharma. You know, we go out into the world, we do these things, that in itself is a teaching. So lest we think it's not important what we do, I could say that just, you know, being in training temples or being around really senior practitioners who have internalized these things to a deep degree, you get some teaching from these people, whether they ever say anything to you. You know, you watch how they walk, you watch how they are with people, you watch how they handle their bowls. You know, that in itself is a deep teaching. It's very interesting. Just, you know, watching my own teacher bow. I learned about watching my teacher bow because I watched him, you know, and there's no self. He just bows. And I think that's one of the early lessons. I've heard that from, you know, a number of other people who say, I just watched so-and-so. I just watched my teacher moving a rock, pouring a tea, and I got something from that, you know. This dignified bearing is the Buddha Dharma. So we do these forms with and for each other, not just for ourselves. So Dogen wrote a whole essay called Tai Tai Ko, Goge Jadi Ho, The Dharma When Meeting Senior Instructors. And his point was he was helping people, helping practitioners understand how to act around teachers. So it says things like, before a senior, do not raise your knees and hold them with your arms. Do not stand and look at a senior while leaning against something with your legs crossed. When a respected person of 5 summer practice periods asks you to sit down, gassho and bow and then sit down. Courteously sitting upright, do not lean against a wall. So these are the same kind of things that, for instance, if one of your students came in wearing a ball cap, and you would say, take the ball cap off, it's not respectful. You know? Dogen is saying, when we're meeting people senior to ourselves, and of course, really, this could be anybody, but in this context, he's saying, how do we function with people we need to whom we need to show respect? Well, we don't sit with our knees folded up and our arms around our knees, leaning against the wall in a kind of a casual way, because this dignified bearing is the Buddha Dharma. So, of course, Dogen also says we need to not chew toothpicks or spit or scratch at lice in front of a teacher, but I think we kind of aren't going to go there. I think we kind of got that one covered. But even the small things we do, the way we sit, you know, when we sit in this room, we don't put our feet toward Buddha. Why? It's not respectful to Buddha. You know? So we find some way to sit in which we're comfortable, and we take care of our bodies. When we sleep, in the Soto or in the Zendo, we sleep with our heads toward Buddha, not with our heads toward the wall or our feet toward Buddha. And you would think, this is a statue. It will never know. What's the difference? We know. You know, the people around us know. And really, what's our intention here? Our intention is to have some gratitude, to have some respect. You know, this is a piece of metal, and yet, you know, what are we doing? This is all our practice. This is all our intention. This is all our manifestation of teachings. So these things are important. These guidelines would seem to be, you know, no one's here, no one will know what I do. So, but, you know, dignified bearing is the Buddha Dharma. So it's not only for ourselves, but it's for all beings. Last night, you may know, you probably all got my email that the denomination asked us to ring bells for the earthquake victims at exactly the time that the earthquake happened 1 year ago. So you can see on our What's New page, I put a little piece about that. So I had my eye on the clock, and at 11:30, I put down what I was doing upstairs. I put on all my robes. I came down with the candle, got the place ready. There was no one here but me. Did a few minutes of zazen, waiting for exactly 11:46. 11:46, I started ringing that bell. And do you think this room was full? I thought so. Now, I could have come down here in pajamas or blue jeans or whatever. Who would have known? Nobody would have known. I don't even have to tell you that I'm doing this. Nobody would have known that I did it or not. And yet, there's something about this, you know, dignified bearing is the Buddha Dharma. It felt to me like that was practice with and for all beings. So it was helpful to me to know that exactly at the moment that I was ringing this bell and I was chanting for the 19,000 people who died in that disaster, all of my peers were doing it all around the world. Because in Japan, the time was something like 2:46 in the afternoon, so I'm adjusting the time so it was exactly the same. So all over the world, Soto practitioners were ringing their bells and remembering these people. And it felt to me like we were all together doing this thing. So forms also help us to express what we can't express in words. They make something visible to us that normally we can't see. You know, Bodhidharma has his famous teaching, the Zen is transmission beyond words and letters. So I think form is part of that. You probably know the story of St. Francis and one of his disciples. He said to his disciple, I'm going down into the town to preach, so please come with me. And they went down to the village and they walked around. And they were down there for a significant period of time. And St. Francis never said anything to anybody. He simply smiled at the people, walked through the village, walked around. Then they went back home. And the disciple said, well, wait a minute. You said you were going to preach to all the people. You know, I thought you were going to preach. St. Francis said, I did.